In My Youth, Chapter 32, The Ruse. It was very late in the night when Jonathan returned home, and he was alone. We heard him as he led the filly into the barn and with extreme quietness to her stall. Father rose and, lighting the old tin lantern, went out to have an opportunity with him. My own temporary sleeping quarters being in the haymow, I could not help being an involuntary, though very interested, listener to all that was said. "Is that thee, Jonathan?" And Father's voice trembled with emotion. "I reckon 'tain't nobody else," was the petulant reply. "Well, thee has occasioned me a great deal of anxiety, and I venture to say that thy name is on the tongue of every man and woman in the new settlement." "I don't care if it is." "But is thee aware that thy riding away with Esther Fox and not coming back till this late hour will cause a vast amount of scandal?" "I didn't ride away with no fox. I rid away with a lamb, and we ain't nary one of us none the worse for it, nother." "But what has thee done with Esther? With the lamb, as thee insists upon calling her?" "Well, I hain't done nothing wrong with her, I tell thee that," answered Jonathan in a tone half exultant, half defiant. "I suppose thee'd like to know all about it, wouldn't thee?" "Yes, I want a full account of thy transactions," and Father spoke huskily and with grim decision. "If thee ever expects to be received again into our family as an adopted son, thee must clear thy skirts of all blame in this matter." "Well, I kind o' reckon I can do that," returned Jonathan, straightening himself up and pulling at his gallusses. "My coattails hain't been draggled the least mite, and if thee'll only listen to reason, I'll prove it to thee." "My mind is free to consider whatever thee has to say," answered Father. And so the two sat down upon the edge of the feed box, with the faint glimmer of the tin lantern playing upon their features, and the young man in his characteristic homely manner related the story. "Well, it was Patience. She put me up to it. When I heard her saying her piece about that there tarnal young feller locking the bars, it set me to thinking whether I mightn't ride off with Esther, just like that feller done with his gal. For thee knows old Enoch, he's always been dead set against me having her. So I told Patience about it, and she says, 'Go ahead,' and her and Charity and Esther, they put their heads together and made up the whole thing, how we'd fool old Enoch and ride double over to Dashville and take the shortcut in spite of the tarnal discipline and everything else. And Patience, she even seen Henry Meredith, and Henry, he seen Judge Davis about it and made it up with him how he was to splice us in a hurry as quick as we got to his office. And Charity, she fixed it with Isaac Wilson and his wife how we was to stay at their house a day or two till we found out how old Enoch was a-taking it. For thee knows Isaac's wife, she's Esther's mother's own aunt, and she's named after her, and she's always kinder had a liking for her." "Yes, I know," said Father dryly. "Go on with thy narrative." "Well, it was Patience. She put me up to it," continued Jonathan. "She's purty slick, I tell thee, when it comes to cunning. I seen all the time that she wasn't quite clear in her mind about us taking the shortcut. It's a mighty poor way of getting spliced, she said, and it's sure to land you both outside of our society, for you'll be turned out of meeting without mercy, she said. And then Esther, she would begin to cry, 'cause she didn't know what to do, for it's a terrible thing to be turned out of meeting.'" "I know all that, too," said Father, growing impatient. "Go on with thy narrative." "Well, it was Patience. She put us up to it, and she said, 'If you can only scare old Enoch right bad, maybe he'll give his consent at the last minute, and then you can get spliced right, after all.' And she said to me, 'Lochinvar, if I was thee, I would try it.' And I told her I would. So when we rid away on the filly, Esther and me, we went kinder slow, for we wanted to give old Enoch another chance. We was sure he'd foller us, and we didn't care if he did, for everything was fixed up, and we knowed that he couldn't help hisself, no matter how ugly he wanted to be." He paused a few minutes to give the filly some grain, and then resumed his story. "It was Patience. She put us up to it. When we rid away, we didn't go in no hurry, for we wanted him to foller us.
But after a while we got to the river, and we'd seen Dashville in plain sight on t'other side, and there wasn't no sign of him nowhere. Then I said to Esther, I guess maybe we'll have to be spliced by the shortcut after all. Thy grandfather, he don't seem to be a following us very brisk. And just then we come to the ferry, and she begun to cry. The ferry boat was on t'other side, and the feller that runs it, he was settin' at the end of it a-fishin'. Me and Esther, we lighted from the filly, and I hollered to him to come and take us across. But he was in a-most catchin' a big black bass that was teasin' his hook, and he hollered back to us to wait a bit till he yanked the fish in. I hollered to him that we was in a right smart of a hurry, but he just kept on fishing for that there black bass as if it was the onliest thing under the sun. I hollered again, and let on as if I was hopping mad about it, but he just kept on. Seems to me we stood on the bank waiting for the tarnal feller fully a half an hour. By and by the black bass, it swum away without taking the hook, and the feller pulled his boat across to where we was standing. I was so tarnal mad that I felt like licking him, and I think I would have done it too if it hadn't been for Esther. I kinder hated for her to see me a-fightin'. Thee would have disgraced thyself and thy relations, and I am glad thee restrained thy temper, said Father. But go on with thy narrative. Well, we went on to the boat, me and the filly and Esther, and the feller was just pushing off into the water when we heard a great clattering of horses' hoofs, and we looked up, and there come old Enoch on his gray mare, a-galloping right down to the river. He hollered to the feller on the boat and told him to wait, but the feller just kept on and didn't so much as look around. He said to me that he was in a hurry to get across to see if there wasn't a fish on the line he had set there, and he said he wouldn't turn back for nobody. Old Enoch, he came a-pounding down to the river, and just as the boat bumped against t'other side, he rid up and stopped at the landing on this side. He was all out of breath, and so was the gray mare, but he didn't seem a bit mad. As soon as he could get his breath a little, he hollered out to Esther and asked her where she was going to. She hollered back and told him that we was going to Dashville to be spliced, and the judge was expecting us, and the papers were all writ up ready to be signed. And Enoch, he hollers again and says he won't allow no sich thing, and tells her she must go right back home with him on the gray mare. Then I hollers back to him, and I says, Esther ain't a-going to do no sich thing. She ain't no fox, she's a lamb, and she's promised to belong to me. If thee won't give her leave to be spliced the right way, then her and me will take the shortcut, and thee can't help thyself. Then Enoch, he hollered to me that he wouldn't never allow any such thing to be did, and I guess we stood and hollered back and forth across the river longer than it takes to break up a settin' hen. Then I led the filly out of the boat and up to a stump by the road, and me and Esther, we let on as if we was going to ride right off into the town. Old Enoch, he hollered to the feller in the boat to come and get him, but the feller was in great hopes of that there black bass again, and he let on not to hear him. I seen that Esther's grandfather was beginning to melt, and so I touched on a compromise that I'd been thinking of all along. Enoch Fox, I hollered, thee sees that Esther and me, we're bound to get spliced, and thee can't help it. We'd like to get spliced the right way, but if thee won't let us, then it will be thy fault if we go against the discipline. I know thee don't like me, but I'm bound and set on having Esther, and if thee will only sign a little paper that I've already writ out, we'll go right back home with thee and be good friends with thee as long as we live. Then he hollered out and asked me what it was that was writ on that piece of paper, and I took it out of my hat lining and read it to him so loud that the ferry boat feller, he laughed and scared his black bass clean away. It was Patience, she put me up to it, and it was her that writ it with her own quill pen on a leaf of her copybook. Here it is, Father, thee may read it. He took from his hat a carefully folded bit of bluish foolscap, and Father, bending low over the feeble, flickering lantern, read aloud the writing that was on it. To the Dry Forks Monthly Meeting. Dear friends, I hereby give my consent to the marriage of my granddaughter, Esther Lamb, with my young friend, Jonathan Dudley, provided they get married in accordance with the rules of our discipline. E. Fox. That's it, exclaimed Jonathan. It was all writ just so, except in the name, and I read it to him as loud as I could. Then Enoch, he hummed and hawed and kicked the sand a little bit, and at last he hollered back and said he reckoned that when young folks made up their minds to get spliced, the old feller hisself couldn't stop him with all his fire and brimstone. And he said he'd rather see one of his daughters in her grave than to let her be spliced to anybody against the discipline. And as to his granddaughter, he reckoned if she could stand it to live with a Dudley, he could maybe stand it to let her have one of them. But he vowed and declared that he never could begin to stand it if she got spliced to me against the discipline. Then I hollered back to him, and I says, "What's thee going to do about this here little writin' I just read to thee?" And he hollers and says, "I reckon I'll sign it. Thee come back to this side with Esther and thy filly, and I'll sign it, and then we'll all ride home together. 'Tain't no use for us to be a haggling over this matter forever." I seen from the way he spoke that he was clean beat. And Esther, she was so glad that she begun to cry again. Just then the ferry boat feller, he catched his fishing line onto a snag and lost his hook, and us and the filly, we went back onto the boat. He wanted me to pay him another levy for ferrying us over, but I told him we had changed our minds and that, seeing we had rued the bargain, it was for him to give me back the levy I had paid him when we first went on to his boat. The feller, he got mad, and I had e'en a great mind to fling him into the river, but Esther, she kinder pacified me. When we got back to this side, there was Enoch, a-holding his gray mare by the bridle. He shook hands with us both, and I never dreamed that he could be so friendly and nice to anybody. And then I laid the piece of paper up against the smooth part of his saddle and gave him my piece of keel to write with, and he signed his name just as thee sees it there. Then he shook hands with us again and called us his children, and said he reckoned we might as well ride back home together. So he got on the gray mare, and I got on the filly, and Esther, she got up behind me, and we left the ferry boat feller on the landing a-saying bad words about us. When we got to Enoch's big gate, Esther, she slipped off the filly's back and run to the house. But we'd made it up to give in at the monthly meeting the next third month, and Enoch, he agreed to it. And so thee sees I ain't done no bad thing today of trying to be like that there young lock in the bars, have I? I am glad that thee has done so well, said Father, taking his hand, and I am glad that thy troubles have been so happily adjusted. We shall all rejoice to have so capable a young woman as Esther Lamb become a member of our family, and it is very pleasing to know that friend Enoch has consented to it. The candle in the old lantern had burned down to the socket. Its little light flickered desperately for a moment and then vanished. The barn was in total darkness, and as Father groped his way back to his couch, I heard the Seth Thomas clock strike 12. Thus ended a most eventful day.